The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And it is Friday, and we are down to almost eight. A few more to play tonight, and then we're down to the final eight tomorrow and Sunday. Some big surprises yesterday. We'll talk about all of that. Good afternoon. Welcome to the weekend. And let's share some headlines with you before we get to our first guest. And Tennessee basketball season ends with a thud. And I mean FAU knocks them out. Tennessee was thinking about, man, we got a good path here with all the upsets. And now they became a victim of one of those upsets. Big lead went for naught as FAU, that's where Lane Kiffin once coached in football, heads to the Elite Eight against Kansas State, which beat Michigan State in one of the best NCAA tournament games of all time. What about Arkansas? Could they hold up the SEC banner? No. Completely obliterated. I mean, at one time they were down by 30. And it's all John Daly's fault. He showed up at the game in Vegas, and the slot machines were coming up zero for the Razorbacks. How about Bama? Can they continue? They are the favorite to win it all. Bama plays San Diego State. Looks like an easy win, right? Well, it's what we thought about some of the games yesterday. LSU and Utah play this afternoon. That's a fantastic women's matchup. And then Coach Yeo featured today in the Wall Street Journal, taking on Louisville. Men play at 6:30. First-year coaches, are they successful or not? Bruce Feldman did a serious deep dive, and Bruce will join us later on. Congress and NIL, where have you heard this before? Seems like we're talking about it every day. Charlie Baker talking about it last night. Everybody talking about it now. But will anything ever be done? And how about the transfer portal? That's the other part of the NIL equation that seems to be upsetting nearly everybody. Inside the chaotic transfer portal, the recruiting process consuming college football. And that article written by Shihan J. Raja from CBS Sports. Always great to say hello to you. Good afternoon, Shihan, and thank you very much for being here. We can't wait to dig in. How have you been?
I've been good. Good to be back, and thank you for having me.
Thank you very much, Shihan. Appreciate it. Let's get right to it. And it's pretty obvious this is a mess. So what did you find as you did the deep dive into this?
Well, you know, I really tried to take people behind the scenes of sort of the personal impact of the process. You know, I went and talked to a player named Jonathan McGill who played at Stanford, who was looking at all sorts of options around the country. And, you know, the thing that you figure out real quick is that with these transfer windows, obviously I think it's been a positive to limit the time period when this is all happening. But it also means that this process is happening at warp speed. For him, you know, by that same night, he was already on the phone with a college football head coach, Rhett Lashley, who he ended up committing to at SMU. He was bombarded with DMs, with text messages, with calls in the minutes after. And ultimately, he only had a few weeks to be able to make a choice that obviously is going to impact a lot of the future of his life, especially this upcoming year. And, you know, the other side of this, too, of course, was I looked into the player side, but I also looked into the program side. And remember, when all this is going on, people who are recruiting, people who are looking for transfers, evaluating, you know, this stuff is happening, like I mentioned, at warp speed. And it's happening during the same period when a lot of programs are preparing for conference championship games, preparing for bowl games, preparing for high school recruiting. So really, I mean, the biggest takeaway from all this is there is a lot going on at the same time that staff really have to kind of keep in perspective.
Shihan, in terms of what the coaches are dealing with, and we've all heard many be very critical publicly, privately, how big of a stress is it and how are they dealing with it?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, when we talk about that first transfer window, we're talking about one that opens up the day after the end of the regular season. So, you know, somewhere in that late November, early December range. And they're doing that at the same time as obviously they're trying to wrap up their high school recruiting classes with this early signing period coming around December 15th. And also while trying to deal with current players and also trying to recruit players on their own team to return back to campus, because obviously that's been such a big factor when it comes to managing rosters, is just trying to keep your own players on campus that well. So, I mean, you're almost having to deal with three or four waves of players at the same time between guys on campus, young guys that you're talking to as well, high school recruits, transfer recruits. I mean, it's a lot going on at the same time. And again, this is during, you know, the holiday season. This is during the time when you should be preparing for bowl games, getting a little bit of a respite. But just with the way that the calendar is structured right now, it all ends up becoming something that you have to deal with at the same time.
Sean, what's the deal with the NCAA? I know that they've tried to narrow the windows, but has that had a big impact, or what type of impact has it had?
So I think it's had a positive impact on the perspective of having dedicated time when players are going to enter. You know, you're not just, you know, I remember during that first year, especially when you had the free transfer, that you'd get kids coming out of the portal in October and leaving their programs and saying, you know what, like, I'm going to enter the transfer portal right now. And this has mostly been locked up by the transfer windows, and I think that that ends up being a positive thing. But I think that one of the biggest issues that we're seeing right now is that there hasn't been a full-scale reevaluation of the calendar in general. And that's something that I expect to happen in the next couple months. You know, when you talk to the NCAA Transformation Committee, I think that the full-scale recruiting calendar is potentially going to be something that's up for conversation, because the reality is, again, I mean, you can't have all these things competing with each other ultimately. I think that taking a step back, kind of rethinking the process from scratch, and viewing all these things in concert with each other, as opposed to, you know, again, we talk about the transfer windows. That was decided on sort of individually. We talk about the early signing period. That was decided on kind of individually, and there wasn't much coordination with these things with each other. I think it ultimately will take college football stepping back and the NCAA stepping back and that transformation committee stepping back and saying, how can we completely rebuild this calendar from scratch?
So finally, on that subject, and there have been a lot of proposals, there have been a lot of conversation, but things usually don't move quickly. Where are we, and when will, not solve, because I don't think it will ever be solved, but when will this situation be dealt with in a more complete fashion?
Well, I think one interesting timeline to think about is 2024 essentially kicks off new college football. We're going to have all the realignments happening at the same time. The SEC is going to grow to 16 teams. The Big Ten is going to grow to 16 teams. We're going to also have the first year of the new college football playoff that will be expanded to 12 teams. And so I think that there is going to be a push by people to try to have at least some answers by the time that we're heading into that. I do think that when we look at the future of college football and when we study it as history, I mean, 2024 is going to be a seminal year in the history of college football. And so I think that if some of these things can get done around that same time period, I think that it kind of allows us to enter a new era full scale.
Sean, thank you very, very much. It's always great to catch up with you. You be well. Take care of yourself. And by the way, we have a lot more to do on the program today. We have many guests, including Shahan. How about Mark Stoops? He'll join us at the bottom of the hour. Pro Day up in Lexington today. Matt Brown joining us. How about the head ball coach? He will drop by. Haven't seen him in a while. What's he been up to? And Bruce Feldman will join us as well. And your phone calls at 855-242-7285 and an update on the caller bracket. All of that on the Friday show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Find them now. 855-242-7285. That's 855-242-PAUL. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show.
And welcome back. Mark Stoops joining us, bottom of the hour. Let's get to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Dustin, first up.
Oh, Feinbaum, you did me wrong, man. You did me wrong.
We actually did you right, but we did you a favor. You were about to take a whipping by AJ. We didn't want that. We didn't want that to happen.
Okay, so do you want to know what I really think?
No. Randy said no.
I didn't ask you, Randy.
No, got news for you. Randy has standing here, unlike some people on the phone.
Here's what I really think. I think it's hilarious, and if I were you, I would have done the same thing. I'm serious. It's perfect.
You believe that, Randy?
No.
When you're the new guy.
We're basically trying to send you a message. When you're the new guy, be the new guy, not the old guy.
Yeah, you got to endure a little hazing if you want to stick around.
We're not sure you're sticking around though. That's the question.
I guess that'll remain to be seen. If you answer my call on Monday, you do. If you leave me on hold, you leave me on hold. Yeah. Either way, I'm still a fan. Hey, and you're still invited to the Arkansas spring game. It's my birthday weekend. Get your butt down to Fayetteville, Feinbaum.
Ooh, now you're throwing around prison words.
Well, I had a phone call with Ledger. He pepped me up a little bit.
How about your team last night? Why don't you talk about that?
Well, you know what? Disappointed doesn't begin to cover it, but still proud to be a Razorback. Proud of those kids. And in all seriousness, man, Anthony Black showed a ton of guts. So did all the rest of them. Kamani Johnson, I mean, that guy's all heart.
Save us the team banquet speech.
Well, what do you want me to say, Paul?
Dustin, I didn't make this phone call.
We got our butts whipped. Okay. It
sucks. By the way, when a team is down by 30 points in an NCAA Sweet 16 game, I don't want to hear somebody say it was disappointing. That's
heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching.
I mean, that's a socialite phrase. The meal was disappointing.
That result licks the sweat off a dead man's balls. I mean, it's terrible. But it happened, and I got to live with it.
I mean,
look forward.
Got to be a fan, Dustin. Fans don't use words like disappointing. But anyway, Dustin, congratulations for being the first person ever to be a no-low contendere in a play-in game.
Well, hey, you got to start somewhere, I guess, and I'm breaking ground one way or another.
What do you think, Randy?
Fayetteville, 3 weeks, Paul. Get there.
You say breaking wind or breaking ground? AC is up next. Hello, AC. Teach this guy how to make a phone call, okay?
Whoever this person is, I really don't care. How you feeling, Mr. Feinbaum? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Mr. Feinbaum, I have a best idea. You know, Saturday and Sunday, I'm bored to death. That means I need a show on SEC Network twice a month. Think about it. Mr. Feinbaum Show, hosted by Randy Heritage, Danny Brand, and my man Jamari. Oh, I'm going to love it. 10 to 12 o'clock, Mr. Feinbaum. think about it. I'm going to call in. We're going to have some fun. Give me some competition, man. Can you imagine Mr. Feinbaum show 6 days a week? Ooh, that's some spice in there, man. It's going to be so weak. Well, Mr. Feinbaum, I will holla at you on Monday, brother. Holla.
Okay, there have been some criticism of the way we treated Dustin there.
It wasn't harsh enough.
You think it was? Randy said it wasn't harsh enough. Well, I guess the message is you're a newcomer to the show.
You gotta earn your stripes.
Yeah, I mean, these other guys that call in, they've been here before. Randy thought it was hazing. First of all, to be hazed, that means you have to be a pledge, don't you?
Yeah.
He didn't make it out of the play-in round. I mean, he expired is up next.
Oh my goodness, Paul! I'm glad you drank before this show, because some of these callers are awful.
They are.
I mean, awful. You know, this is the third time, fourth time I called.
We're taking names today.
Second time I got. Well, y'all need to. You need to remember my name, because it's the best name. It's the only name. It's going to be the best name, because I got some time now to call you, Paul. And
where did you get this name from? Before we get too deep in the weeds here.
I really don't know. The other morning, I woke up at 3:30, and I was really distraught because I couldn't figure out, you know, what my name was going to be. Because I just can't figure out a lot of things. And I was like, man, you know, the old song, What Would Willie Do? I started thinking, what would Paul do? Okay, what would Paul do? Okay, so that kind of leads into my question today. If you were the commissioner of the SEC, okay, and Paul Feinbaum, the greatest guy in the world, if you were the commissioner of the SEC, why would you have Vanderbilt in the conference? Okay, give me some reasons. Don't get into academics, because academics doesn't matter in the SEC, because we got Alabama in the SEC, okay? So we know academics don't count. That's convict you, by the way, Alabama. So why in Paul's mind, if we took a fillet knife and sliced into that big, gigantic brain of Paul Feinbaum, why is Vanderbilt in the SEC, okay? And I want everybody to know, in Tennessee in October,
okay, are you going to allow me to answer, or is this question going to go on ad infinitum?
I'm going to let you answer, Paul, because you deserve to.
Thank you. Why is Vanderbilt in the SEC? Well, let's start with them being a charter member. Secondly, my wife has a degree from there.
Okay, you won. That's all I need to know. You won, Paul. That's all I need to know. But I would like to say this, okay?
Well, let me say this. I mean, she it is not it is one of her degrees. I don't want to make it sound like it's the only degree.
So what you're saying is she's pretty damn smart.
She only had one mental lapse in her life.
That was when she married you, Paul.
That is correct.
And two, actually, she stayed married to you.
Well, that's true. That may have, yeah. I mean, okay. Anyone can go to Panama City and get married with a justice of the peace. I mean, that happens to a lot of us. But to stay married is
correct.
Even more remarkable.
That is correct. But I just wanted to tell all my Tennessee friends
I told you it wasn't her primary degree. I think she had a degree that came later.
Well, she's still got to be smart to get in Vanderbilt, unlike Alabama. But anyways, I just wanted to say...
Don't you go knocking those state universities now, okay?
Hold on.
And why would you call Alabama what you called Alabama?
Convict you? I mean, Tony Mitchell? Darius, whatever his name is.
By the way, I mean, you're expired. You're well aware of the presumption of innocence in this country, are you not?
Hey, Nick Saban cleared it up for us the other day, okay?
Well, you're right about that. Okay, we'll take a break. We have more to come. Mark Stoops, the head coach at the University of Kentucky, will be with us.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And as some of you know, it was Pro Day in Lexington today. Will Levitt's bringing a lot of the NFL top brass, in fact, all of them, frankly, to see him play. A lot of comparisons to another great quarterback from a few years ago, Josh Allen. Let's talk to the head coach, Mark Stoops. Coach, always great to see you. Thank you very much for joining us. So how'd it go today?
Well, good, Paul. I was really excited to welcome a whole bunch of people. It was one of our largest pro days, and we've been gaining some traction over the past few years and getting quite a few people here. And obviously with Will and all the other seniors we have, it was a really good day and felt like it went very smooth.
Yeah, we watch it. I realize you're there, I'm sure, to talk to people, and I'm sure plenty of people talk to you. But what's it like for you when everyone shows up from the NFL? How does that go in terms of conversations?
Well, you know, it just depends on each and every team and what exactly are they looking for. You know, a lot of times, you know, we just help facilitate things. They want to talk with the players, set up individual meetings, certainly with Will. You know, they may want to go through games with him, certain situations, you know, from the past seasons. And we just help put him in a position to give him everything they need, give him the access that they need. And, of course, our strength and conditioning team, our media team here, you know, put on the event. So for myself, it's quite easy. I just show up and talk to folks and do some media hits like this and just visit with the coaches and help our players any way we can. It's been a fun week. We have a bunch of ex-players, a lot of NFL guys back this week training and here supporting our players today. So it was kind of a fun day. A lot of buzz going on.
Coach, certainly there's such rampant speculation about the quarterbacks this year in the draft. And I realize your responsibility is to your program, but in terms of Will and just what you've seen of him over the last couple of years, his progression, how do you feel like he is situated to take this next step?
He's going to be in a great situation. There are some very good football players out there that we respect and have watched, and you know, I just let everybody do their job. At the end of the day, Will be put in a good situation. I think he's going to go very high. How high? I don't really know, and I'm quite sure he will be successful. I think, you know, things happen for a reason, and you know, wherever Will goes to, he will be successful. I thought he did nothing today that could hurt him. He did outstanding. Again, I think there's a lot of other really outstanding people, you know, that are up there. And you know, at the end of the day, he's going to go somewhere in the top 10. And, you know, what can you ask for, you know, other than that? And he's going to have a great opportunity. Somebody's going to get a heck of a football player, but even more impressive person, somebody that's going to, you know, help their organization and be a name and a face that they can build an organization around, and you know, the community that he goes to is going to benefit from having him. So he's just a great person. We can't say enough good things about him. We thank him for what he's done for us, and can't wait to just help him get to this next point, the next level, and see what he does. But he'll be in a good situation. I'm not worried about Will because he's done too much work for too long, and not one day, whatever he did out there today, you know, in my opinion, is not going to matter, because that guy, when you watch him throw, you know, nobody can criticize that. The way, the talent that he has, the size that he has, and the leadership skills that he has, he's going to be successful.
Coach, the attention of today and obviously 5 weeks from now at the draft is significant for your program. You've had other great players, of course, but what does it mean? What is the ripple down effect on your program, especially just in terms of the brand and in the future related to recruiting?
I think it does nothing but help. There was just great exposure today. As I mentioned, I think there's been a buzz for a couple weeks, and with the draft coming up, again, I'm quite confident that will go high. And it does nothing but help. I'm just so proud of all of our players. There's so many guys out there working today that it's hard to discuss and talk about each and every one of them. But they've done an awful lot for Kentucky, and you mentioned the brand, and for us. And, all those guys that may go down the line, whether it's second round or lower, all the way down to any free agents that we have, we just have great appreciation for them. It's been fun to have so many pro organizations here and important people in their organizations here. And just talking about Kentucky football, and I love visiting with them, spending time with them, and greatly appreciate the respect that they have for our program and what we've done.
Well, Coach, in the time we have left, I would like to talk about spring drills. They're underway for a couple of weeks. You will not have the game at the end of spring because of renovations. So tell us how it's gone. You have your offensive coordinator back from a couple of years ago that went to the NFL, and what's it look like?
Yeah, very excited to have Liam back. Obviously, that's a lot to talk about, we're very excited about that. Our players are excited, and it's been very smooth. It was good to have him here and in place. He's been through this once. I think that helps. He knows the things that worked and were successful early for him the last time, and things that maybe took some time. More experience just coming back from the NFL and them going through a tough year with injuries and obstacles and things to overcome in LA. I just think it helps with his growth. And so I think he's even more prepared right now than he was the last time he was here. And offensively, we're doing some really good things already. I think we have some young players that are growing up on the offensive side of the ball that are difference makers that really need to have a great spring. I think we're in better position at the offensive line. We lost three pros from the year before, and so last year we got caught a little thin, and that caught up to us at times. I think we've addressed that. And defensively, led by Brad White, our defensive coordinator, who's just outstanding. He's been with us for 5 or 6 years now, and Brad just does a phenomenal job. The players love playing around him, and we're always going to be solid there. And we continue to grow on that side of the ball as well, and made a hire in special teams coordinator, Jay Bullware, that I'm very excited about. We needed to address some areas in the special teams, and we're getting after that. So all things are going well, and we're excited about the future.
Coach, finally, it's a question that every SEC head coach is being asked, and a lot of them really are tired of hearing it, but it's going to keep coming up, and that's about the future and the scheduling that will go into effect next year. Hasn't been approved yet, but any thoughts on what is to come in 24?
I really haven't put much thought into it. They haven't asked my opinion on it. And when the time comes, for the vote, whether it be the presidents, the athletic directors, or the head coach, whatever's best for the league, I think, I'm good with. I mean, we're always up for the challenge. We know competing in this league and coming from where we came from at Kentucky, we're always up for a fight. We're down with whatever they put in front of us. It's never easy. And we'll continue to evaluate all those things and do what's best.
Coach Mark Stoops joining us from Lexington. We always appreciate the chance to visit with him. Thank you very much, Coach. We'll see you soon. As we head to the break here, we will continue with more of your phone calls, more guests, including Steve Spurrier, a little bit later on. We'll take a short break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and Sandra is up next in Austin. Hello, Sandra.
Hi, Paul. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
I have been sitting on a thought for the last couple of days, and I think I just really am going to explode if I don't share it. Just talking more about the Brandon Miller situation. I think we do live in a country where not guilty until proven innocent. But I don't understand why people say that the man hasn't been charged with anything, yet they're wanting him to sit the bench. We're in a very litigious society. How is it that we feel that Alabama has made an error by covering all their bases? What happens if they did sit him out? He could sue them if he came out being cleared and not charged of anything. And, you know, so I
well, by the way, like what would he have sued them for over?
Oh, I'm just thinking, couldn't he have been able to sue them over damage for his career if they had not allowed him to play?
He'd have to, he'd have to prove that his career had been damaged. But anyway, I mean, it doesn't matter. Okay. They didn't suspend him, so the lawsuit conversation.
Well, yeah,
is moot.
Well, point taken. Well, I have one other point to make, if that's okay. And that's about all of these people that are saying that they're these wonderful Christians, yet they can't let Legend move on with his life without throwing mistakes up into his face. He's paid for that. And, you know,
yeah, but, you know, Sandra, that really is a very sapient point that you've made, because if you profess, by the way, whatever people are, we all know, should be a personal issue. But when you bring it out into the open and you profess and then you judge and castigate, then you put yourself in a position where you're open to conversations like the one we're having.
Right. Well, and I am a Christian, and I know the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. And Christianity is based on grace and forgiveness and all of that. So I'm not quite sure how all that adds up.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm also not sure once you tell somebody you're something, do you have to tell it every time? Does that matter?
Right. Yeah. Well, if you're living by that credo, then you don't have to tell people that.
No. No.
Anyway,
and not only is this individual judge that person, he's also judged me. So I'm pretty close to the situation.
Yeah. Well, I just think people need to try to be a little more professional. And if they are going to profess to be a Christian, then they need to be kind.
Well, thank you. I think that is very important. I appreciate your call. Thank you very, very much for giving us a ring. 855-242-7285 is our number. And Logan is up next. Hello,
hey,
Logan.
Paul, hey, how's it going? Hey, I got to ask you a question. What happened in the last hour yesterday on your show?
It's been two nights in a row. The final hour has been absolute bedlam.
Yeah, it's crazy, and I don't know if this is like a highly intoxicated redneck, if this is just something they say, but he wanted to take you fishing. Is that some kind of like redneck mafia way of disposing of Bidey?
Someone's Bidey? I don't know. In all the times I've been fishing, I never feared for my life.
Well, would you go
by the way,
Larry
the people
anywhere?
Fishing by me feared for theirs the way I would... cast out, but first time I did that, I think I took my father's ear off.
I've got another thought, Paul. I can't understand why Jim is being so nice, or nice by his standards. I think he might have lawyered up, and he's fishing for some kind of for you to slip up or something, so you got to be careful. The other day he was talking about Legend. He was scared the Legend was going to come to his house or something. And I was like, I've never heard Legend threaten to come to Jim's house before.
Well, first of all, Legend comes in talking his game. But, I mean, I've never taken Legend seriously in terms of the things that he says. I don't mean that. disparagingly. I just mean that when you go to Legend, you know it's fun in games. I mean, that's what we're talking about here.
Exactly. I mean, he's a funny caller. I don't know why they take him so seriously. Like, something just weird is going on with Jim. I don't know. I mean, it's not like he's a normal guy, but I don't know. I don't trust that guy, Paul. You need to be careful taking his calls.
Well, I feel secure taking his calls.
Okay. Just saying, man.
I mean, of course,
he's
we are 578 miles apart at the moment, so maybe further than that.
Well, he is a little man after all, so I don't think you have to worry about any physical violence. Plus, he'll never come out of his house. So,
well, I think you're right about that. Yeah. I mean, he is one person that, I mean, in all the times I've tried to meet with him in Tuscaloosa, we've never come close. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. Jack is up next. Hey, Jack.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
Good very
to,
well.
Good to
thank
talk
you.
To you. A little bit of quarterback talk. I was in the bookstore the other day reading about Tom Brady. Paul, did you know that Tom Brady, in his first year in the NFL, his stats were one completion out of three attempts for 6 yards?
Played. He played behind Drew Bledsoe, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did. But you know, to start that humbly and end up being probably the greatest story in the history of American sports is just a radical accomplishment. That just stunned me. You know, that he was one for three.
Well,
he
was a good quarterback in college, but he waited. I don't think he started until his senior year. We obsess over these draft picks, and there aren't many stories like Brady, but by far he is the best story. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Myth in Kentucky. Hello, Myth.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, yesterday was a tough Sweet 16 for the SEC. I know that we're in the now, but if it wasn't for 2013, Cal would have taken the Cats to 5 Final Fours in a row. It shows how hard nowadays it is in the in March, and the now for us obviously is the number one class recruiting class coming in. The only thing I got left to say is hopefully that the criminals, along with Legend down in Alabama, I sure hope they can pull off this win. That way we can keep it in the SEC. And we'll hopefully that happens. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very, very much. Dave is up next.
Hi, Paul. I'm kind of late for the show, but yesterday there was a lot of violence at the end of the show, and all I wanted to say is you mentioned Beatles songs yesterday too, and all I want to say is all you need is love.
Thank you. Matthew is up next in Texas. Hello, Matthew. Matthew, you there?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Hi, Paul. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I have a random general question. I know Texas starts in the conference in 24. Do you think the sense of the people that listen to the show care anything about Texas right now for tonight's game, like they're beginning the affiliation?
No, I don't. I don't think it's quite I think basketball is a little different than football. I don't think it's quite kicked in yet. I mean, I think it's one of the most fascinating stories. You know, should Texas make it all the way to the Final Four after firing its coach? We've seen that happen before. In fact, I believe Michigan won the title after firing its coach, but it's a very rare thing.
No, I agree, and hopefully they'll hire Rodney Terry.
I hope so. Yeah, I
mean, they should hire him anyway.
He deserves it. Listen, thank you for the call. We're up against a break. We've had a busy first hour. Plenty more to do, including a conversation with the HBC in an hour. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.